Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Show Recaps Theater presents Movies. So many movies as reviewed for you by your friends at Post Show Recaps. Featuring Grace and Ariel and their incredible movie takes, we hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, pew pew. Those are my electricity noises. Welcome back to Post Show Recaps Theater. My name is Ariel, and I am delighted to be joined by the... Oh no, I can't say that. That's a spoiler. The blank to my blank. It's Grace. What's going on, Grace?
Hi, I'm here, hanging out with The Rock in a movie theater. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. He's... I can imagine he needs like a... like, what's the opposite of a booster seat? Like, to, so he sits down a little lower.
Yeah, because he's so tall. Yeah. So an anti-booster seat. Right. That sounds like some anti-vax stuff that I don't think we need to get into.
Right, right. We're not going to get into that. But we are going to get into the newest DC superhero movie called Black Adam. Wow, it was a movie. This was a lot of movie. I'm excited to get into it. Mm-hmm. This was, you know, anticipated because The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, as he, I think, would be preferred to be called, has been doing a lot of, you know, PR work, a lot of the interview circuits, talking about how good this movie would be and how he wanted to make it good and do it for the fans and yada, yada, yada. Grace, did it feel like he did it for the fans?
Did it for the fans. He's he was known as the people's champion when he was a wrestler. So
right.
People's superhero now. You know what, Ariel? I kind of liked this movie. I thought it was pretty fun. It's very silly. I thought it looked really good as well. Like, mm-hmm. for a superhero movie. I thought visually it looked pretty stunning. Like, I do think that this movie is worth seeing in the theater. Cause I think, I recently watched, what did I watch? Mad Max Fury Road on my like home TV. And boy, that movie was really made to be 3D. I know this one is not 3D, but it's kind of tough to watch Mad Max Fury Road at my home instead of in a theater. And I feel like that this one could have the same thing where it looked really good in theaters. And I worry that like once it comes to streaming, it's going to look not as good. Yeah, but I thought it was fun. I thought it was kind of a fun little superhero jaunt that had some twists and turns along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did have a couple of twists. I gotta be honest, I had been dreading this movie release. I think at some point on the pod, I definitely told you this, Grace, at some point, but I might have said it on pod about like I was just so tired of seeing the trailer and seeing the trailer before. I was like, okay, this is a perfect time to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. It didn't look good from the outside, and then we started to get some early reviews. And for the most part, the early reviews were not great. One of my favorite things I read was, and I meant to go look at the main publication, but Variety tweeted out this, what seemed to be like a aggregate or some kind of aggregation of different other people's reviews. Mm-hmm. And one of the headlines was, quote unquote, anti-entertainment.
Oh my God.
Okay. And I was fascinated. I was like, I have to go find out what anti-entertainment looks like, because that sounds like some kind of antimatter, like very compelling alien, I don't know, substance. And I think the antimatter comment specifically helped lower my bar of expectation even lower than it already was, because the movie wasn't that bad. Is how I felt about it. Like,
yeah. So Rotten Tomatoes currently giving it a 39 on the tomato meter, but 90% audience score, which I think is probably too high for me for an audience score.
It is, but way too high.
Yeah, but more in line, more in line than a 39%. You know.
Yeah, it's somewhere. You know, I have this somewhat not or definitely not scientific rule of when there's like a greater than 30% or greater than, let's say, 20 point difference between the critic score and the audience score, the reality is usually somewhere in the middle. And I think that's true here of this one, somewhere what's like between 40 and 90, somewhere in like the 60s or 70s. I think that's a little more fair for this movie.
I know. I remember one time on a podcast, I talk a lot about IMDb score. I actually like IMDb scores. I think that I typically feel like, yeah, that's pretty close to what I would give
it.
I know that there's a Discord user who's just like, oh, I really hate it when people mention the IMDb score because I think it's really bad. But Black Adam has like a 7.1. And that to me feels better. That to me feels like right pretty much where I might put this movie, maybe a smidge lower, but like fun. I don't know. There's certain movies. We talked about Triangle of Sadness last week, and I feel like that is a movie that I watch for the like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna think about this critically. And this one was like, I thought the action was really fun and good, and the story was more interesting than I expected. So, especially for an origin story, so I think I liked it. And then that's all I need from a DC movie that I haven't watched for years. Yeah.
And apparently that's all a lot of people needed, because this movie made $67 million opening weekend, which isn't, you know, like,
I mean, I know that's like won the box office. That doesn't sound super great. Yeah.
Yes, it's not. It won the box office, but it's not. Well, I think the budget was like 200 million. Yeah, 200 million. Like $200,000.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, and obviously that's just the first weekend. So there's the global box office. There's like word of mouth and how this movie will continue to perform. Will it be a smile? Haha, the movie smile for some of these executives where it continues to, you know, have momentum and do really well and somehow just continue to be in theaters forever and ever and ever. We'll see. Yeah, some exciting news that happens at the end of the movie, exciting for some.
It's true.
That we'll get into in the spoiler section. But I think overall, I agree with your point that it's, if you're gonna see it and you're at all interested in seeing it, it's definitely worth seeing on the big screen. You can walk, you don't have to fly, you don't have to run to see it. You can wait till the second and third weekend. Maybe there's no one in the theater. You can sit wherever you want.
Speaking of sit wherever you want. Wait long enough. Can I tell you? I've already told you, but I'm going to tell the listener now. I'm going to retell my story of this infuriating experience I had at the movie theater.
Rage. Okay.
Which, I buy my tickets in advance. You know, as soon as I know I'm going to the movie, I go online, I buy my ticket, and I pick my seat. I picked, you know, this movie was like, you know, so, but there was this row where I was like the only, there's an empty row. And so I thought, okay, I'll sit in the middle. That's fine. I'll sit in the middle. That'll be nice. I wear a mask. So I'm like, yeah, I'll be fine. I'll sit in the middle. And so I sit in the middle. And then when I get there, more of the seats in my row had been sold. That's fine. There's some people to my right, and to the side of me, to my left, there was like a bunch of open seats. And this lady comes up like 5 minutes before the movie starts and is like, yeah, hi, I bought all the tickets around you. Do you mind moving down the end of the row? What? What do you mean?
All the tickets around you. How many tickets are we talking?
So she had two kids and she bought the two tickets beside me. So if I was like F11, she bought F10 and F12.
Oh my God.
Very annoyingly. And I am not confrontational. So I said, okay, fine. Yeah, whatever. Because my thought process was kind of like, yes, she is kind of being an a-hole. Mm-hmm. But also if I now, she has two kids with her. And if I am like, no, I feel like I'm also kind of being an a-hole, even though I'm a bit way less of an a-hole than she is. And so I was like, yeah, fine. It's better that like there's one a-hole instead of two a-holes. And I moved down to the end of the row because she had actually like her ticket was the end of the row. So now I sat at the end of the row, which I don't always like, which is fine. And yeah, I was very annoyed. And then at the end of the movie, I was like, I should have complained, but I went back and was like, can I complain about something? And I told the guy what happens. And the guy said, wow, you should have come out. I would have walked back in and told her to kick rocks is his exact phrasing, which I love this individual who I met.
I love the kick movie rocks.
There. Kick rocks. Rocks is in the movie. He does do a lot of kicking. They gave me a free movie ticket. So I'm okay now. But yeah, it was very annoying. This the audacity of me being an F11 and her buying F10 and F12 is bold.
It's compounded by like I've already been sitting here for a while. Like it's 5 minutes before the movie starts now.
Yeah, because you know that I get like there like 15 minutes.
I know, early. I know. You were there at 6 if it was like a 7:30 movie.
That's right.
And I agree with you that like in general, I want to put out more kindness to the world because there's so little of it these days. And sometimes it's hard when the person is putting you in the position where it's like the only option that you can.
Yeah. And I'm like, maybe this was an accident. Maybe she like didn't realize what she was doing. And she like bought she assumed that because all three in the middle were blacked
out. I hope she was
like,
nice
whatever.
About it. It sounds like she was a little bit like, I hate when like, okay, you're asking me for a favor and you are asking, but your tone isn't really asking because you're just expecting me to do it.
Yeah.
And I still have some of that power.
In my frantic energy to like, be like, yeah, fine. Let's just end this conversation. Yeah. I picked up like my phone and my earpods case fell underneath the seat and the thing. And then the movie started and I was like, okay, I will wait till the end of the movie to like ask them or go get it. And so then my headphones couldn't charge during the movie. So I was a mess. And halfway through the movie, I heard a small, like a little voice and I like pulled my headphone in my pocket because they're out of the case. They like turned on accidentally and I was like, oh, that's LaTanya talking to me. Drink blackout. And I turned them on.
LaTanya, what do you have to say? LaTanya was like, no.
Those people were rude, huh? Yeah.
That's horrible. I'm sorry. You needed a champion to come and defend your honor.
Anyway, that's my movie. I feel like Ariel, like I do like to like people watch. I really do. I find like people fascinating and things, but sometimes I feel like I attract like weird things happening to me. Cause has this ever happened to another individual in the history of movies? I imagine not.
It's happened to, I will be honest. My friends have bought like a ticket and then I buy a ticket afterwards and I'm like, well, I'll buy the ticket and then I really hope. But I think to my credit, I come in with like, oh God, this person has all the power and I'm really hoping they just say yes. And I was like, I'm really so sorry to ask you. Would it be okay if blah, blah, blah? Like, you know, I try not to, I don't know. It's hard. It's rough out here.
It's rough.
It's annoying. And this is why going to the movies can be annoying sometimes, because if you can't rent out the whole theater, then you have to deal with other people.
Yeah.
Who aren't your friends.
That's true. So anyway, Black Adam.
Yeah. Black Adam. Okay.
When I moved, was I a hero or a villain?
You're like, what does he say? I don't, I'm not asking and I don't forgive or whatever he says. Okay. But before we get into spoilers, let us first spill the PSRT and get into some summaries. Okay, so the movie starts out. This one's gonna take a lot of work, but the movie starts out in 2600 BC, fictional place kingdom called Kandak. A king named Acton. This king is evil. We do not like him. He creates the crown of Sabacc with some material called Eternium. This was very reminiscent, Grace, of What's the one from Avatar?
Obtainium? Obtainium?
Unobtainium.
Unobtainium, yeah.
Incredible stuff. This is Eternium. Wow. Okay. So this crown that he created gives the wearer great power. Surprise, surprise. There's a young slave boy who's like kind of attempting to stage a revolt. He's like trying to inspire people. He's killed. His father is like angry, understandably so. He's given the powers of Shazam by this council of wizards. If you've seen any of the Shazam movies, actually, there's just one. The second one is coming out next year. If you've seen the Shazam movie, you know a little bit about the council of wizards. I think the movie is hoping that you do. So this council gives him all these powers and he becomes like this heroic champion who, you know, kills Acton, the evil king, and his reign ends. Cut to the present day where Kandak is currently being oppressed by Intergang. Intergang is the name of a gang. And I'll be honest, my nerd brain was like, oh my God, Intergang in a movie. That's so interesting. And I don't know. It was nostalgic for watching like the Justice League Unlimited and Batman cartoons. So we meet archaeologist Adriana, who it took me an hour and a half to realize that was Sarah Shahi because I kept thinking, wow, she looks a lot like Sarah Shahi. But they are trying to locate this mythical crown of Sabacc in these ruins. And then they actually find the crown, but they are ambushed by a group from Intergang. So now Intergang is trying to get this MacGuffin. I mean, this crown. And
Who's MacGuffin?
Who's Mackie Guffin? So right when like Adriana is about to be captured by these people, she reads an incantation on the floor and that awakens Teth Adam. Teth Adam is The Rock Johnson's character, and he just kills all the people very, very easily. He kills all these troops, famously does not kill Adriana because she summoned him. Then we get a cameo from Viola Davis replaying the same character that she had played in like the Suicide Squad movies and some of the other DC movies, Amanda Waller. And she's like, wow, Adam's a threat. All their alarms are going off because I saw all the stuff that Adam was doing with his crazy, crazy powers. He basically has like Superman-ish powers. He can fly. He has like electricity. Superman does not have electricity. But he has, I guess, like Superman has like the ray gun eyes. So like that's like his version of it a little bit. Amanda Waller's like, we need the Justice Society, which is made up of Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Cyclone, and Atom Smasher. I was so happy to see Dr. Fate on the screen. I'm a big fan, so I can't wait to talk about that. So the Justice Society arrives. There's like this destructive fight. Wow, look, you know, we're trying to stop you. And it basically looks like a Transformers movie. The Justice Society tries to explain to Adriana that Adam was not a savior who was entombed, but he was a madman who was in prison. She doesn't believe him because she's like, where were you all when we were being oppressed by, you know, for all these years by Intergang? It turns out that Ishmael, one of the people that Adriana was with looking for the helmet, was actually a bad guy. Surprise, surprise. And Adriana's son, Amon, who has stolen the crown, is being chased by Ishmael. So now we have like the MacGuffin in the hands of like a child. And it's like, oh, the stakes are higher all of a sudden, or they're supposed to be. So Amon is basically taken by Ishmael because Ishmael wants the crown. So Adam, Adriana, and the Justice Society are going to like try to trade the crown for Amon. I think one of the least realistic parts of the movie was like when Adriana was basically in charge of both Black Adam and the Justice League by yelling at them about like,
she's being a mom.
A parent. She's like, I'm a mom. And I, you know, no offense to moms, but like, I'm sorry, if I were standing in front of a room full of superheroes, and moms, to be clear, overall are our version of superheroes, I do agree with that. But it's just the visual was a little bit, you know, I don't know, a little silly in a way I didn't like. But they get to Ishmael, who reveals that he's a descendant of the original evil king at the beginning of the movie. Wow, wow, wow. It's crazy. And he wants to take his rightful place on the crown. They trade. Ishmael seemingly like betrays his part of the deal and tries to shoot at Amon. I can't remember how to say his name anyway. And Black Adam has super speed, so he saves Amon, but like he loses control of his powers, and you know, Ishmael is killed. And Adam flees because he feels guilty that he wasn't able to like control his powers. And then he reveals to Hawkman that actually his son. So now we're getting a flashback. Hawkman is talking to Black Adam in the present day, and we're getting this flashback that Black Adam's son was actually the one who became the original champion, that was granted these special powers by these Council of Wizards. Mm-hmm. But he was such a good champion that the evil king was then targeting his family. So Amon's father, in this case, the character of Black Adam, well, before he had his powers, and the mother were like being hunted by the evil king. And then his son, Amon, gives his father, Black Adam, his powers in the hopes that he can like use his powers to protect himself and his mom, because he's so worried. And it's like this very selfless act that the child does for his father. But then right when he gives away his powers, he is shot by an arrow. The evil king had sent people to kill him. And then, of course, Black Adam is just infuriated because his son gave him his own powers to protect him. And then he couldn't save his son with his special powers. So it's actually like a truly tragic moment. So then that's when Adam came and like killed all the king's men and kind of destroyed the palace. And, you know, the Council of Wizards has to like place him in this tomb, basically, because he was like way too dangerous. So at this point, Black Adam surrenders to the Justice Society. They place him in this like underwater chamber, basically, to keep him contained so that he can't say the word Shazam, which is the way that his powers turn on and off. And then it turns out that Ishmael, the bad guy who was killed, meant to be killed and is in hell and like gets the powers of this evil demon creature.
Sabacc.
Oh, right. Because it's the crown of Sabacc. So it's actually Sabacc proper. And so Sabacc, in like the most video gamey part of the movie, that looks like the worst, arguably, just in terms of
Sabacc looks pretty not great. Yeah.
We've seen Sabacc before in other movies. To be clear, I don't mean actually, I just mean like, you know, it looks not great. So Justice Society is trying to fight him. Fate creates a magical force field because he's going to sacrifice himself. Because he has like premonition powers. And then once Dr. Fate, who is played by, I haven't mentioned yet, what's his name? Pierce Brosnan. Yeah. who's looking great with an ascot.
Yeah, looking great.
Once he dies, the force field comes down, the Justice Society can come in, everyone fights, the people are fighting in the streets. It's very metaphorical, like, wow, we're gonna take back our land. Adam, so then Dr. Fate, right before he dies, uses like astral projection to awaken Black Adam from his slumber in that cell. He comes and he has to be the one to save the day. Basically, he, with the help of Fate's helmet, Adam kills Sabacc, and then the Justice Society departs on good terms with Adam. Everyone is really happy. But that's not all, because in the mid-credit scene, Amanda Waller, played again by Viola Davis, comes and she's like, hey, listen, Adam, all right, we're not going to keep you in prison because we literally can't and you're way too powerful, but you have to stay in your country and you can't come outside. And he's like, we'll see. And then she's like, all right, well, if you don't, I'm gonna get somebody else who's powerful to come and deal with you. And he's like, there's no one else like me. And then literally Superman appears.
I think it's like he's like, no one on earth could stop me. He says, well, luckily I have access to aliens, and
I'm gonna bring someone who's not from this earth. And it's literally Henry Cavill playing Superman again. And just today Henry Cavill confirms that he is back as Superman for future DC movies. I wanted to make it official, he said, as if that weren't official. So what was your reaction, Grace?
So I know nothing about the DC universe. The only movies I've watched from the DC universe are, I believe, both Wonder Woman films. That might be it. That might be all of the DC movies.
It sounded like a much more extensive list at the beginning of that.
No. And so I know Henry Cavill is Superman. Mm-hmm. And I like Henry Cavill a fair bit.
He's playing The Witcher.
Yes, he does play The Witcher. And so I'm just looking at, I don't think I've seen anything else. And so when he showed up, this is my exact reaction. I went, oh. They got me, Ariel. They got me. Now I think I want to watch all the DC movies. Like,
Man of Steel was whatever. We're not going to get into this. Is not a ranking spot. We're not going to get into what I think about all the movies, but he's, you know, his part in the movies hasn't always been bad, even though I don't think his parts have always been good.
He looks perfect.
He looks like Superman, that's for sure. He's definitely got the look, and clearly they found enough money to pay him enough to actually get him back, because both him and Ben Affleck had left their respective roles as Batman and Superman, and now it seems like they're coming back in whatever capacity.
Is Ben coming back? Is Ben gonna
for at least one movie? I think he's supposed to be in the Flash movie.
Oh, is this for real?
No, this is not a bit. This is but who knows? Everything's changing, and there's obviously some unfortunate stuff going on with
Ezra Miller, the Flash movie.
Yeah. So we will see where that goes. What a movie.
Yeah, I think kind of fun. I thought I think the action is quite strong. When there's something that's very hard to balance when he is just so much stronger than everybody else. Of how do you balance like this movie? But boy, it's pretty fun. It's like when you're watching somebody play a video game on easy mode. You're like, that actually looks pretty fun. He's just like whopping people. It's really good. And then this whole reveal is like, he's like this hero, but he's sort of like, you think that sort of perhaps his moral compass is just like outdated to a degree, that like, he's like from 2600 BC. Like, yeah, he, you know, much more willing to maybe like sacrifice people. And is he like this like bad guy with like, you know, a cause? And so the reveal that, it was actually his son is who's the one with like the good heart who would have been the hero, but that Harut gives up his powers to his father to save his father from being assassinated because they can't kill Harut. I think it's like really a good, the other CGI that I thought was like a little not super great was like Skinny Rock, you know, was like a little, so
yeah, like, it was like, what are we even doing? I'm actually really glad that they kept his, and to be clear, what Grace means by Skinny Rock is like before Rock got his powers, he's a quote unquote regular Joe, average Joe. And
he's still like pretty jacked.
Average, right. He has like, by all normal human standards, he's still jacked, but like compared to current Rock, he looks more like, he looks even in less shape than he was when he was just the Rock, like back in wrestling times.
And so
I agree, it's not great, but I think for the most part what they try to do, which works, is like they obscure his face in different ways where like you're just hearing his voice and showing like his body, you're not really like showing his face,
except so there's like a scene where they hug and then I feel like his head looks humongous.
There are a couple of scenes where they do try to put his face on the smaller body and it looks all kinds of whacked,
so
it's not great. Not everything is wonderful.
But this reveal, I really like it. I think it makes him a very interesting force, that he, by the end of it, he's sort of a hero, but then essentially he's being told that like, okay, you can only stay in Kandak. And he's like, absolutely not. And nobody can stop me. Who cares? Mm-hmm. And the stuff between him and Hawkman, I think is particularly strong. Their relationship of Hawkman being this, so like, you can't kill people. The scene where he brings the two sort of henchmen into the sky and he drops one knowing Hawkman will save him, and he drops the other one knowing Hawkman will save them both, and and Hawkman's like, I told you, you couldn't kill anybody. He's like, they seem pretty alive to me. And he's like yeah, but you dropped them. He's like, yeah, but I knew you would save them, like I didn't drop them until you were there. We were playing good cop bad cop, Hawkman.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Yeah, there's a lot of mileage that they get out of, I will just say, I'm about to compliment it, but I will just say first, the script is not good. Like, it's very, for me anyway, for my personal liking, it's just very, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, we're going to do that thing. Okay, we're going to do that thing. Like, there is no, there is barely any depth to it at all. However, there were things that I enjoyed. The, to your point, some of the comedy, I think The Rock is playing way too, this is going to sound crazy because it's like a being that has been literally under rock for thousands and thousands of years.
Yes.
But like, he comes out and it's just like, could you have any emotional movement in your voice at all? Like, he just comes off as so cold and robotic in a way that I think is actually kind of not working. But to the point you brought up about the jokes, I think once he starts going and getting to know the Justice Society a little better, and they're trying to quote unquote teach him, I think it's really in a way that actually works. It's really the young kid Amon who is like his on ramp onto like listening to people and caring about people. And it totally makes sense because he lost his kid when he was really young. The kid is seemingly the same age as Amon when Amon passed away. So it like, it actually is like really
his kid, right?
Oh, excuse me. No, I thought it was Amon, but you're probably right.
I think it's Amon's Adam's son is Harut, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
He lost his son when he was really young. And now this kid who is like his son's age was, you know, is like, it totally makes sense that he would connect to him. Right. And he wouldn't want this kid to get hurt. Now, so like he kind of learns from the kid, okay, don't, you know, you need a catchphrase, you need, you know, so he starts like learning about stuff. And then by the time
Terminator.
Yeah, it is very Terminator. Absolutely. That is a great, great, great comp. And some knock against The Rock that he's not a robot and he's kind of playing like Terminator, that he's a robot. So I think that says something. But once the comedy, to finally come back to my point, once the comedy kicks in and he's dealing with Aldous Hodge, who plays Hawkman, and he's dealing with the best parts I think are him and Pierce Brosnan, Dr. Fate, going against each other, because like then he starts learning about sarcasm and he's like, no, that was sarcasm. Wait, are you being sarcastic? Like, it's just really, really funny. In a way that I think works more because of Pierce Brosnan and less because of The Rock, to be clear. But it is what it is. I think that totally works. I think some of the emotion of to a point you made earlier about like the giving Black Adam's character like some emotional weight with his son, once the reveal comes that his son was the true hero and then he lost him in this way, you think that Black Adam has been like hovering around this statue kind of looking at himself, what is supposed to be himself, like it's a statue of Kandak's champion from way back in the day, and it's like a lost style statue in that it's like super old and looks kind of out of this world a little bit. When you realize that he's actually just staring at a statue of his son, it's way, way, way more interesting and emotionally resonant that he's just kind of been staring at him for different periods of time throughout the movie because his son died so tragically. So there are things that are working for sure in the movie.
I believe that the character who plays Harut, like champion Harut, so like Black Adam Harut, am I making sense? Is the young actor who plays the adult version of young Rock in the Rock. That's a very confusing sentence that I'm just trying to say, but there's a TV show. Do you know the TV show Young Rock? Do you know the TV show Young Rock?
Unfortunately I do. Yeah.
Okay. The Rock that is like 20 year old Rock, the guy who plays him, I believe is the character they also got to play when Harut is like jacked right before he gives his powers, and then like jacked Harut leaves and it's like kid Harut.
Where
he's jacked, he's like a superhero Harut is the actor who plays Young Rock in Young Rock.
That kind of makes sense.
Fun little trivia. Yeah,
that kind of makes sense. I'm sure that was most fun for The Rock himself more than anybody else in the world.
Yeah, fair. I mean, I thought all that stuff was really compelling. I think I'm a little higher on sort of stone cold, you know, stone face Rock a little bit more than you seem to be. I think it does work for me of sort of him, especially when you know that he's been revived after years of like the reason he kills everybody is because his son dies, right? Like he's trapped in the Rock of Eternity because his son is assassinated. And so he like loses it and fights. And now he's coming back out for the first time, having been in prison for many years. I think it works for me knowing that, you know, basically by the end of the movie, we kind of get the Black Adam that I thought we were going to get at the start of the movie, right? Like, I think this is very much like an origin story film, that by the time we get to Black Adam 2 or whatever movie The Rock is going to be in next, whatever DC property we're next, I think we have a much more like fun Rock than we get in this movie. But it works for me knowing the story that gets like slowly revealed out of the movie. And I knew nothing about this story at all, about I didn't know Dr. Fate, I didn't know Black Adam, I didn't know any of this stuff. It worked really, really well on my end. I think Dr. Fate is probably the best part of the movie. I think Pierce Brosnan in this role is really, really good. I was actually sad being like, as I'm watching it, I'm knowing like, yeah, I guess it makes sense you only signed up for one movie, but like, I kind of really like you the most, so I don't want you to go anywhere. Yeah.
It definitely made me sad when he died. For me, I mean, I already mentioned this a little bit when I was going through the plot, like Dr. Fate, to see him on screen was the only, for me, the only moment where I was like, wow, this is so cool to get this character on screen, because he was in some of the later Batman cartoons and some of the Justice League Unlimited. I think he's in, he also prominently features in Young Justice, which isn't technically part of that same continuity, but whatever. But a lot of cartoon versions of him that I have known and loved, and to see him on screen here played by a really good actor doing a really good job, like you said, was really cool. Like, it was one of the few moments where I was like, oh, this movie, I didn't think there was going to be anything in this movie, quote unquote, for nerd me. And it actually, that super, super worked. And seeing his powers and the way that he wields them, and like the way they kind of visualize his magic and all the kinds of different things that he does. Super, super cool. I thought it worked. It looked really cool, you know, a little CGI at times, the way the rest of the movie works. But again, I gave it a lot of rope, because Dr. Fate's so damn cool. And so is Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. I liked that he was great. And I kind of can understand also this idea that someone sort of as powerful as him in terms of like what he can do is maybe not a type of superpower that you want hanging around in every movie. The fact that he can see into the future, I think could get a little tropey, although you and I both really love time shenanigans. So maybe not. I could see why you like Dr. Fate.
Probably. Yeah. It's great.
But he looks such badass. He looks so classy.
Can play him, you know, somebody else can take up the literal, in this case, mask and not mantle, and become, you know, the mask disappears at the end, but the mask, similar to other magical items in a lot of different lores, can choose another person, and another person can then become Dr. Fate, you know, where they are themselves with the mask off, and then once they put the mask on, they have these same powers. That's how it works. And so I'm curious to see who they will. I'd be really surprised if, you know, probably not, a little bit to your point, we won't be seeing Dr. Fate like next year perhaps, but I'd be really surprised if we didn't get Dr. Fate, you know, in some other form and in another few movies in some capacity. It just seems like a waste.
Yeah, he was so classy though. He's so classy.
Right? Great. Yeah. Now they can make like a grungy, like dirt, like potty mouth Dr. Fate.
Yeah,
you know, she's like, in it. Oh, it's Dr. Fate in it.
In that. Yeah. So Harry Styles, I know he's in Marvel. He's already in Marvel, but maybe he could come over to DC. Dr. Fight, in it. Yeah. In it. This one's just for if Stewart's listening. It's a Dr. Fight. Yeah. A buff. What did you think of the like, other than Dr. Fate? I think he's the best of the Justice Society of America crew. The other three, Hawkman, Cyclone, Atom Smasher.
I gotta be honest, Atom Smasher, played by Noah Centineo, I almost, before I realized it was Noah Centineo, which, to be clear, isn't like quote unquote famous, like A-list famous, but I think he's like teen famous. I think he's the one from the
To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
All the Boys I Loved Before universe. Yeah, I think there's two movies. I think there might be a third one coming up, unless they already made the third. So, you know, he's famous to some people, but like, I could not get past when his mask was on,
yeah,
how much he sounded like Peter Parker, and then at times a little bit like Captain America. Like, I think there was a little bit of, and I don't just mean the lines that he was given, because I think that part is obviously intentional. Like, he's the comic relief. He's a little bit more childish. He has superhuman powers. In this case, he can turn like really big. I think really small also, but maybe not. I might be misremembering his powers, but he can turn really big, and but he's still like a kid. Like, he's similar to Spider-Man in the MCU universe. He's like a kid with powers. So he kind of acts like a kid sometimes in a way that's usually really funny. And for me, it was like borderline uncanny at times, like how much they, and I couldn't get it out of my head that like, that was part of the reason that they chose him. Not because they wanted to have like a Spider-Man figure, but because they wanted to have some level of like what's working in the Marvel universe. I don't know.
Yeah, I found him a little lackluster. Like, I thought he was totally fine. He definitely was like, I want to know if this was his choice or somebody else's choice, but he was eating a lot in the movie. Very Brad Pitt of him to be like, I would like to be eating a bag of chips during every scene where we're around a table. I want to know if that was his choice or their choice to have him. I really like Cyclone. I thought Cyclone's, again, I feel like tough that the, especially Cyclone and Atom Smasher were such like, also theirs, that you really get no depth. And then they're sort of into each other. And I'm like, yeah, we don't know them well enough to feel like we're getting any sort of meaningful stakes in this relationship between the two of them. Neither of them, I think, at any point in the movie seem like they're in danger of anything. So, you know, it is totally fine. If they show up again, I'd be excited. I thought Cyclone looked beautiful, like the superpowers. But other than that, I thought they were, you know, I thought certainly Dr. Fate was the best. Then at least you get some stuff with Hawkman that's like interesting. And then Cyclone, Atom Smasher are kind of also there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I actually thought, I don't know who else. So like, we have Hawkman and I almost called her Thunder Girl. So,
Cyclone. Yeah, she's like beautiful. I think she's beautiful. Like, the
it looks beautiful. The
cool
color, the color coordinated. Stuff color coordinated the color scheme, I should say, that he works. I could have done without, honestly, like some of the stuff was like straight out of, I don't know, like an encyclopedia. Like, what are your powers? Oh, I have nanobots in my soul. And so I was like, random, you lost me. And yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Like, I appreciate that you have a journey, and clearly you had a seemingly traumatic.
They do reveal, right? She says her dad died or something.
I didn't really need to know that. But her powers look really cool. You know, the way that her color coded, I guess, costume moves through the air, and she herself is a kind of cyclone tornado, and she affects things and can like move wind around. Basically, it's like, what if Storm had like very specific pointed powers? Because she can't really fly in the traditional sense the way like Black Adam flies, but she can obviously manipulate wind, so like fall through the air in a very specific way. She looked really cool. So there was like some will they won't they energy between her and Adam Smasher. I thought Hawkman, you know, Aldous Hodge, God bless him, he's trying so hard, but with the exception of like some of the funny scenes that he had with Black Adam or Dr. Fate, I kind of just felt bad for him. I was like, he doesn't have much to do here.
Yeah, because he's like the stiff, right? He's like being like, you can't kill people, you know? Like, oh, that's so boring. It's so boring, you know?
Yeah,
but, yeah. So we talked about Sabacc as well. Sabacc showing up and fighting at the end. Mm-hmm. Can I just say the final kill is brutal. The way Adam kills Sabacc is absolutely horrifying. And I know it's bad CGI. Yeah, he literally rips him in half.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there was many children in the theater, and I was like, oh no, that's pretty gross. That's pretty disgusting. Like lava devil juice spilled.
Yeah, like kind of melts him in half in a weird way. Like just pulls him, and he seems to be like, if you were to pull like cheese that was starting to burn, so it's crispy on the outside, but then like as you pull it apart, it's melting. Oh. Roof stoof.
I don't know what that means, but I agree.
rough stuff. It's that was cool. Yeah, I totally forgotten about that kill, but I remember now my visceral reaction would be like, ooh, I like that.
What about our other, like, what about the crew, like Adriana's is it his or sibling? What is the guy?
Ishmael, her brother. No, her
so Ishmael's her brother.
No. The other guy's her brother that died.
What about the guy who's like, baby, come back? Well, the guy who's just listening to that.
Oh,
like, yeah,
that's right.
What is his name? I don't see him on the cast
his
list.
His name is Maxine. No. Brother Samir. I think it's Samir. James Kusadi Moyer, maybe? Akali, mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was funnier than I thought he would be. Like, again, I saw some of the funny stuff in the trailer, and I was worried that this was not gonna, some of the stuff we had already seen was gonna play as well.
Oh, I think he's Kareem. Is he Kareem in the movie?
Kareem.
Samir is I think the guy who's like adventuring with Adrian at the beginning and disappears, like falls and dies, and Kareem goes out of the car. I think.
Well, there you go.
I think maybe. Yeah. So I think the uncle guy name is Kareem. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He looks great, and I thought he was very funny. So
yes, he is funny. Him, he's like definitely the one of the comic relief parts of the movie. You know, he gets to say, did he catch a rocket? Which was a scene in the trailer way too many times, but you know, it kind of worked. I was shocked that they made me care about this family. I gotta be honest. I wasn't ready for that.
I was a little like Amon is, I think he's pretty good in this role. The kid who plays Amon, he's fine. When he shows up and he's rallied all the civilians, and then he just has a fake cape and a skateboard, and I was like, I don't know about that. I don't know. It looks too cheesy.
Uh-huh.
Just
yeah,
like, it would be cooler if you like ran. Even the cape is like fine, because it's like not all heroes wear capes. And I love Cyclone being like, actually the majority of superheroes actually don't wear capes. But then he's like riding on the skateboard, and I'm like, oh, it looks so, I don't know. It would have been worked better if maybe he was like 8, you know? I think it would have been better instead of like 15.
Like actually 8. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It'd be cuter, right? A little 8-year-old in a cape who's like started a revolution on a skateboard. Mm-hmm. That's way cuter than like 15-year-old Amon with a cape that's too big on a skateboard.
I don't hate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we didn't get that.
We didn't get that. That's not what we got.
I'm trying to think before we talk about, oh no, we actually really did talk already about the mid-credit scene. I'm glad there wasn't a post-credit scene. They didn't make us wait.
This one.
I think have we reached like the, are we now in the backlash to the true post-credit scene? And like, because this isn't the first, I can't remember the other one, but this is the second one that I can think of off the top of my head where I remember the experience of like, oh, there's a really important mid-credits and then nothing. So maybe mid-credits is the new post-credits?
I will take that. I will take that every day. I mean, I feel like Marvel for a while was doing like both. Which is very annoying, but there was another really great cameo in this movie, though. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's Adam Smasher's grandfather. And I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, this is
the original Adam Smasher.
Yeah, Henry Winkler.
Henry.
When was he the original Adam Smasher? When was this?
Justice Society was around. Now you know it's like comic book continuity, so who's to effing say? But. I think around like the 70s, so ostensibly like around the time that Henry Winkler himself was like starting to be popular.
He played Adam Smasher in what, a TV show?
No, I don't think, unless I'm mistaken, and he did at some point play an older version of him, I think the joke is just that
He would have been Adam Smasher.
And it's an actor of his caliber to make a cameo here is like, oh, that's Adam Smasher. Like in the way that speaking of some of this movie, I was like, is this a Michael Bay movie?
Yeah.
Catherine Zeta-Jones's husband, Waldorf.
Michael Douglas.
In the way that like he played an older version of the original Ant-Man, but we never got to see him in his prime.
Right.
I think
it
kind of seemed to me like that was it, but I could be wrong because again, I'm not as up on DC movie.
Yeah, I was Googling. I'm like control effing on his entire Wikipedia. Yeah. Never Henry Winkler's never actually Adam Smasher. Mm-hmm. Just the joke is that like he would have been Adam Smasher.
Yeah. And like he appears on a movie screen. I mean, on a cell phone screen, which is funny.
He's Al Pratt. That's the name who was the original Adam Smasher. And then this, he's playing Albert Russ is Noah sent, Centineo is playing.
Which I think is a cool way for them to explain why there's like this old costume of Animus Master that he has, because there's no, he doesn't have an updated version. I think it was a cool like nod where clearly they want to use a version that more people are going to be familiar with as far as the costume versus, you know, something new that they would come up with. So I get it. They were checking a box and there were probably some studio head notes or something that they needed to address.
I love Henry Winkler, so I'm totally fine, even if I was confused.
Let him smash atoms all day, every day.
That's right. Yeah. She should be called Atom Smasher.
Adam. So ADA.
Black Adam Smasher.
Black Adam Smasher.
Yeah.
Teth Adam. Well, they spent a lot of the movie calling him Teth Adam, which is like his quote unquote like ancient name, his a name that he would have had back in his time. And then Black Adam kind of, they do that thing that I both love and hate where it's like, but what name will you be called? I thought of a better one. Boom, Black Adam appears on the screen.
Credits, end of movie.
End of movie.
Yeah, it was fun.
But yeah, this is another one that I believe it was Josh Wigler. I can't remember when it was talking about movies ending. I think it was on one of those long streams, movies ending like with the title card as opposed to movies beginning with the title card. This is another one of those recent examples of that.
Yes, it's it reveals his name. That's the title card. That's fine. It's totally fine.
It is totally fine. I mean, speaking of Josh, you know, they're doing as usual. They're everything is super deep dive into movies, much more comic booky, and in the context of other superhero movies. So I think, you know, if you're looking for a little more of that, you should definitely check them out on Everything is Super Feed.
Yes, I mean, so this is one of two big superhero movies that's coming this fall. Ariel, the other one, I think, one of the most highly anticipated movies of the fall. This one wins the box office. Maybe, you know, doesn't have exactly the draw once, although it almost makes its money back just through the domestic, through international. I think it made $160 million total when you take an international as well. I also think very cool that the two superhero movies this fall, the only two we're getting really are two movies with like black casts, diverse casts, which I think is good for the future. You know, as we move forward, that we don't, you know, we don't need the Avengers to just be all bunch of white people. Not that this is the Avengers, people are so happy. Just an interesting that I think it shows again that like you can't really go wrong from a box office, from like a network perspective, to just like check out a bunch of money for your big superhero action flick. I think that these will be like, I don't know. I know people felt like a little Marveled out, and then Marvel was like, yeah, but here's all of the phases we're doing. And I felt people were like, okay, I'm back in. Okay, fine. So I feel like consistently we're just going to keep seeing superhero movies. Like the lineup next year is speaking of Ant-Man. Ant-Man comes out right in the spring. I saw it trending on Twitter. So yeah, I think the superhero stuff is pretty much here to stay consistently over the next 10 years-ish.
Not going anywhere, even if there's some diminishing returns, even if, you know, seemingly people are starting to change the channel on Marvel, so to speak, a little bit, not in any way that it's like, oh my God, this is the end. But, you know, there's some stuff changing, and the way I think people's, most importantly, people's perceptions of how successful these things can be long term is starting to shift a little bit. I think that's an easy way of saying it.
Well, I mean, I feel like Doctor Strange had very mixed results. So there are people who either really liked it or really didn't like it, and yet it still made a bunch of money at the box office, right? And then the next thing that's coming is Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, that I think is going to be, I think, you know, it will compete with Avatar, I would assume, for the highest grossing film of this year. What's the highest grossing film of this year so far? I just want to take. Top Gun Maverick. Absolutely.
I was trying to come up with a joke answer, but I couldn't get there fast enough.
Lyle Lyle Crocodile. What is Top Gun Maverick made? Anyway, I think it'll be very interesting to see if
$39 billion.
Yeah, we
shall off see me I alone think if, off the back of my yeah. contribution alone, it has made at least $1 million.
Yeah, I wonder if either Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, or Avatar can top Top Gun Maverick, as it were. Yeah,
incredible stuff.
We shall see.
Anything else about Adam, Black Adam, Teth Adam, any of the Adams?
No, not really.
All right. No, we'll see.
I mean,
when we see him next, because the tease is telling us it won't be long-ish. You know,
to be fair, I think that for, like, you know, again, a movie that I thought was like better than I expected, and so I put it in sort of that, like, you know, 7 out of 10-ish range. I thought that it was enjoyable. It also did make me be like, maybe I should be watching more of the DC stuff, even though I know that they all have bad reputations. I'm like, maybe I should. I'm not the completionist of DC stuff in the same way that I have been for Marvel. Uh-huh. Maybe I need to go back and correct myself. And it's, you know, it is this movie that made me think that. So I don't know.
Something to it. What else is there to it? What else are you on? What other things are you potting about that you can tell people about?
A few things. Mike and I wrapped up our recap coverage of House of the Dragon this week. We watched the finale and then chatted about it. I think it seems a little bit mixed. I think mostly because there's like a scene or two that are polarizing from the episode, but very fun to chat through it with Mike. Been a privilege to chat with him all season long. I don't believe that's the end of House of the Dragon coverage. Mike said last night, much like how dragons have a long tail, so too does the coverage of House of the Dragon on post-show recaps. Interview the Vampire, Rich and I dropped episode 4 recently, episode 4 recap. That's been very fun. Shannon, Gus, and I will have an episode of The Crown out this week, recapping seasons 1 and season 2. Then we'll have seasons 3 and 4 next week, and then the premiere after that. Unfortunately, Shannon's going to miss the first 2 episodes. Traveling to New York. To Washington, D.C. For maybe something.
To steal the Declaration of Independence.
That's right. And then over on Rob is a Podcast, which is Shannon's going to go to a live show for Rob is a Podcast. I have roll call Tuesday, October 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern. Rob and myself, along with 4 others, Jenny Otta, Matt Scott, Sasha Joseph, and AJ Norris, are going to play the game of Clue. So I'm very excited for that. You can catch the replay on YouTube and Twitch. I'm on Twitter at High From Grace. What about you, Ariel?
Wow. Now I'm thinking about how I would kill someone. I mean, in the game of Clue, not actually. Sorry, I should make that distinction. Please don't out of context me. Let's see. I will be making sure that I'm subscribed to all my favorite podcasts. You can subscribe to this podcast feed. Search Post Show Recaps Theater. And we have our own URL for podcast catchers. It's pushyourrecaps.com/movies. Don't miss an episode. All our hot movie takes.
That's right.
What else am I working on? Yes, I am on Twitter at that other Ariel. I am covering The White Lotus season 2. We've made it to season 2 now. Dr. Amanda and myself. Because after House of the Dragon, we all need to watch something. And this is apparently going to be at least one of those things. And also covering the Mike Flanagan spooky Netflix universe.
Yes.
We are making our way through that. We're covering Midnight Mass this week. And then the week after that, we'll be finishing up with Midnight Club, which is the last show for our coverage. It's the last Mike Flanagan Netflix show. And hope that that's good. So I think that's it from me.
Amazing.
But what do we have? What do we have coming up?
Two Tickets to Paradise.
Yeah. I will be playing George Clooney.
I'll play Julie Roberts. That's great. Assistant. Okay. Oh, no. Wait. Yeah. It should be fun. I mean, there's not, you know, rom-coms are the other one that are not getting a lot of love. But we shall see. It should be fun, I think. Hopefully. Yes. We'll see.
Yes.
Julie Roberts due for a comeback.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. But yeah, we'll be back next week. Later this week with that. I'm excited. I'm worried, but I'm excited. So, but until then, I'm Ariel. That's Grace. We're pushing you this week. We're talking rom-coms. Bye.